Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 8. We're going to look at the first four verses. And again, this is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. And the chapter is the leper, because I know that we can relate to that. But look at verse 1. It says, when Jesus had come down from the mountain, a great multitude followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony unto them. So again, we see this story here of this leper. And you know, in his testimony, his life, it gives us a beautiful picture of this spiritual cleansing in a person's life. And this cleansing that this leper had received, it also led him up to salvation. So it just shows us the power and the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It shows us his heart and how the Lord loves us and how he desires to heal and to cleanse even the most defiled person of all, because he was a leper. And, you know, and he was considered defiled. It's not like, when I think about this leper, I think about that one person that you know, the person that you thought would never be saved or could never be saved. The one that, you know, that person I'm talking about that you think is so defiled and that you wouldn't even want to talk to him or you wouldn't even want to touch him. Well, you know what? We were once that person. And the Lord reached out for us. Because some of you this morning might feel, or maybe at one time you might feel like that type of person. Someone that you felt couldn't be saved, or maybe you feel like you aren't good enough to be saved, or maybe you can't be used by the Lord because of the lifestyle that you're living now. Well, right now, none of us can, right? But Jesus can. None of us could live for the Lord outside of Jesus Christ. And he's willing, if we just allow him to live through us, he'll use us and he'll cleanse us. And so Jesus, you know, he had this great passion and love for this man, just like he has this great passion and love for us. And he has it for the world. And we can't forget that. He died for the whole world. He just didn't die for us. He died for the whole world. Everybody, even that person out there that doesn't deserve it, he died for that person. And he's going to reach out to that person even more so than you, because he knows that person needs it. And I think we have to have that same attitude. You know, when you look at people, you know, sometimes I look at them and I see that they're doing these awful acts. But I ask the Lord, Lord, see me their soul. Let me see their life, their spirit. And some of them, you know, they're going to hell. And how they need Jesus Christ in their life. Well, look at verse 1. It tells us when that Jesus came down from the mountain, this great multitudes, they followed him. Now, when I look at why they followed him, it's because a chapter prior in 7, verse 28, it tells us that when Jesus ended his sayings, that the people, after he taught the people, they were astonished at his teaching. For he taught as one who had authority, and he didn't teach like the scribes. So the reason why these multitudes followed him, because they were astonished at his teaching. Jesus' life was like no other life. Jesus always stood out in the crowd. Everywhere he went, there was a multitude of people followed him. There was just something about this man, something about this teacher. He wasn't like any other man or any other teacher. And let me ask you this. Have you ever just sat back and wondered why you came to Jesus? What was it? What did he do for you that caused you to follow him? Or why would you even think, or why he even gave you the time of day? I mean, I think we all have our reasons why this man, Jesus, was very special to us. Have you ever just sat back and say, what was it that attracted me to Jesus? What did he do in my life that caused me to be here this morning? Was it because you had to, as teenagers, as kids? You know, we were all there once, and we were forced to go to church. I was. I was forced to go to church, and I don't even know why, because they kept kicking me out every Sunday. I got kicked out every Sunday. They made me go outside the side of the building. They made me stick my nose on the wall. But what is it that caused you to serve God? What is it that, what did Jesus do that caused you to want to come to church and to sit here with your Bible in your hand where you can be somewhere else? Verse 1, it tells us that this great multitudes, they followed Jesus. So there's this great number of persons, a great number of people who were assembled together. They were around Jesus. And it was just this great number of people who wanted to be with Jesus. And it was for the right reasons. Or maybe it wasn't for the right reasons. Some of them did follow Jesus, not for the right reasons, because they followed him because he fed them. Or maybe he did something that was so unique and so great, they were hoping that they can get, you know, a piece of the pie. Well, you ever wonder why people like to hang around you? Why? I don't know. Why do they want to hang around you, you know? I don't know why. You know? I don't know why people want to be around you. What stands out the most in your life? Or that people want to hang out with you. You know, what will you be recognized as? Or what will you be remembered by when people talk about your life? You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul tells us that we are a written epistle of Jesus. That means you are a written word of Jesus. Your life is a written book about Jesus in your life. It's not about your life, it's about Jesus in your life. You know, do you ever wonder why do people like to talk to me? What is it about you that attract people? Sometimes I think about that. You know, why is it, you know, I wish I had a great multitude of people following me, you know, for the right reasons, not to stone me or anything, but, you know, to follow me and give them the word of God. Look at verse 2. He says, and behold, this leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You know, I think in spite of all the people there around Jesus, here comes this leper, right? He's a person that everybody saw who was the most defiled, the most unclean person around at that time. And to make things worse, even lepers themselves felt this way. And I think if people keep telling you enough what type of bad person you are or how undefiled or how great you are, it does affect you. You start to think those things. If you tell your kids, hey, you're no good, you're lazy, you're this, they're going to start to think that way. And it does affect your life. And then it could reverse it if people say, oh, how great of a person you are, how great you're a godly, and you know, you start to think that way, and it could lead you into self-righteousness. But this leopard here, you can imagine all the things that the people were saying to this guy. And again, he thought himself, it just automatically felt him, he felt that that's his life. But you know what I see here? I see this leper when he comes to Jesus. He shows us and demonstrates that there's not one person that is too unclean or too undefiled or too dirty, too sinful to come to Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it shows me. I think this Monday, I was in Phoenix, Arizona this last Sunday. We took my grandson up there because he's going to be gone for 3 years, Stevie, little Stevie. He'll be gone for 3 years going to the college up in Arizona. And when we were there, we were staying with my cousin. Now, my cousin, keep him in prayer because he's on the gang task force of the Phoenix Police Department. He's undercover. And we were staying with him. And I told him, you know, he goes, what are you doing on Sunday? I said, well, Sunday, I really want to go to church. I want to find a Calvary Chapel. I want to go to church. I want to get my grandson hooked up in a church while he's up there by himself. And so he looked it up. There's Calvary Chapel Central. And I said, great. We looked it up same time as our church, 9:30 to start. And so, okay, so Sunday we're going to go to church. And I said, you know, cousin, you know, hey, why don't you come with us to church? He goes, I failed. He says, I failed. I can't go. And I looked at him, I said, okay. And so on the way to church, we were driving. There was like 20 minutes away from where he lived. I texted him. I said, don't ever think that you failed. Say, in God's eyes, you never fail. God says, come as you are. He receives us just as you are. You are loved. And then he texts me back. He says, thank you, cousin. Thank you. I needed that. And so as we went to church, we went back. He says, so how was church? I said, it was great. It's just like our church. Everything, the format of how they pray, not how they pray, but the worship and prayer time, the announcements, except for pastor, he does teach for a whole hour. And I thought, man, you guys would go nuts. But he starts at 11 o'clock and he goes to, he starts at 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock and he teaches. So when we got back, I told little Steve, I said, you know, here's your ministry right here. Because little Stevie, after we got done, he says, I found my church. This is where I'm going. It's just like ours. I'm going here. And I hooked him up with the pastor. I hooked him up with the college pastor and his wife. His wife goes to the same college, so they're going to keep tabs of him. And he's already talking about getting involved in the ministry, feeding the homeless and everything. And so I said, now you're going to have to get my cousin to go. And I went, I told my cousin, I said, hey, you know what? He's going to make this his church, and he wants you to go with him. He says, you know what? I will. So keep him in prayer. Because he's going to go. What's that? Amen, right? So it's exciting that there is no person who's too unclean, undefiled, too dirty, too sinful to come to Jesus. He says, come as you are, right? And so I want you to see three important facts here about the faith of this leper. The first fact, it tells us that this leper came to Jesus. That's the first fact. He came to Jesus. He came in spite of what the people thought of him. He didn't allow the multitudes of people to determine him coming to Jesus. He came to Jesus in what? In the worst of his circumstances, his condition, a condition that had no hope. He did not determine his faith, his worship of Jesus on the multitudes. Isn't that what Romans 5 told us? Paul mentioned in verse 8 how God demonstrated his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not when you got your act together, but when you were a sinner, that's when he died for you. And that's when he came. And I know, and I'm sure, that this leper knew what he was coming up against. I know he knew he was going to face physical, mental, emotional, spiritual abuse from all the multitudes of people that wanted to be around Jesus. But in spite of all that, he came. When he was utterly unclean, both physically and spiritually, and not only he was saw like that by the people, but the law said that. The word of God said that. In fact, Leviticus chapter 13, it says that when a leper has a bunch of sores on them, his clothes shall be torn, his head bare or his hair out of place, and he shall cover his mustache and he should cry everywhere he goes. He's supposed to cry out saying, unclean and unclean. And he shall be unclean. All the days that he has sores, he shall be unclean. He's considered unclean. And he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So even the law stated that the leper was required to what? To wear certain mourning clothes. He was to leave his hair in a disordered manner. You know, kind of like when you wake up in the morning, you know how your hair is all like this. And you wake up, that's how they're supposed to keep their hair. Or shave his head, keep his beard covered, and cry out unclean. What if you had to do that? What if the law, what if today everybody who wasn't saved would walk around saying, unclean, unclean, you know? Yo, man, it would just be so loud. I think it would be like Noah in the ark when he went into the ark. Can you imagine all the cries of the people who are crying? Let me in, let me in. You know, when they realize that the flood is coming, you think that when they were in that boat that they didn't hear all this crying, wailing, gashing of teeth? And I think that's why the Bible says that God shut the door, not Noah. It tells us that the Lord shut the door. Because if Noah shut the door, if you heard little kids crying and babies crying, would you have opened and let them in? I'm sure you would have. It says God shut the door. And so this leper here, he had to go around saying unclean so everybody could avoid him. It's like a skunk. Seriously, like a skunk. How many of you have ran into a skunk? And what's the first thing you do when you run into a skunk? Stage left. Boom, you're gone, right? I don't think you're brave enough to say, here, kitty, 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 you know? Because you know what's going to happen. You're going to get sprayed. Well, the same concept here with a leopard is people saw them as unclean like a skunk. When they came around, they fled. They weren't allowed even to come 6 feet of another person. That's including their family. And the disease was considered so revolting that the leper wasn't even permitted to come within 100 feet of anybody, especially when the wind was blowing. And there was many who believed that God himself inflicted leprosy upon people because of the sins that they committed. So as long as this disease lasted, he was to live in isolation. He was to live away from other people, away from the family, alone in a castaway. You seen that movie, Castaway? Just like that, alone. Why do you think when you see people walking the streets, they're talking to themselves? You ever wonder that why they, you see them, right? I see them all the time in North Park. They're talking to themselves. And I'd wonder, why? Why are they talking to themselves? They're isolated. They're alone. They're away from everybody. They isolate themselves. Well, this is why the leopards were. Even the leopards wouldn't even go around other leopards because this leopard here might be worse than me. I don't want to, you know, they just were isolated. And if anybody came in contact with the leopard, if you touched a leopard, then you would be considered defiled and unclean. So you can imagine why the leopards were treated, why they were. You think, oh, why can't they have mercy? Why can't they can have grace on them? If you were back there, I'm sure you would have done the same thing because that's the way society was. But even though he had the law against him as well. So that's another tough thing. The word of God says, you know, you're unclean. In spite of all the people, in spite of the multitudes, in spite of the word of the law against him, he came. He came to Jesus. Despite of being considered dead to others or being an outcast or ostracized by people, being removed from his home, his family, his community, in spite of being considered infected and with this incurable disease by the people, he came. Why? Why did he come? Why did you come? Because we heard about the man who can make us whole. That's why. We heard about the man who can save us. We heard about the man who can accept us just as we are. The second point, when the leper came, it tells us that he worshiped Jesus. He came and he worshiped him. The word worship means that he had reverence, that he was paying homage to Jesus. His attitude of reverence and worship was shown by him bowing down before Jesus face first. And Luke chapter 17, he records that the leper came running to Jesus and he just fell face down, flat on his face before Jesus. Why? Because this leopard, he was desperate and he knew his circumstances. And he knew he wasn't allowed to approach within a certain amount of the feet of anybody. And yet, he didn't determine that worship of Jesus on anybody. He rushed up to Jesus. He fell prostrated before him, feet and his feet, and he worshiped him. And by him doing that, again, he's showing us two very important, significant acts here. The first one is his desire and his willingness to get away from what? The world, the old world, and the restrictions that were on him. Think about this. He had all these restrictions. His whole life, his whole world around him was isolation. But yet his desire and willingness was to get away from all that. I'm talking about the things that separated him from his relationship to Jesus. Think about that. What are the things that are separating you from your relationship with Jesus? And do you have that same desire to get away from those things? Are you those things that are keeping you away from fellowshipping with Jesus? That's keeping you away from a closer relationship, serving the Lord, getting involved in people's lives, even giving your finances to the Lord? What are those things? See, the leper, he had the things that were separating him. His desire was, his willingness was to get away from that, because those are the things that were keeping him from Jesus. And he got away from that, and he ran to Jesus, and he fell down, and he worshiped him. And then secondly was his acknowledgement that Jesus was worthy of all worship by everyone. I mean, that's plain to see. It shows us that it doesn't matter what condition you're in, guys. It doesn't matter. Jesus calls us to worship him. In fact, Romans chapter 12, we're looking at, he calls us from being conformed into a dead sacrifice to be transformed into a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's what he's showing us. He's showing it doesn't matter what your condition is. You got to come and call upon Jesus. Don't allow any circumstances that you're going through that would keep you from coming to Jesus. The third point is, after he came to Jesus, the leper, he bowed down to worship Jesus. The third point is, the leper asked and trusted Jesus for cleansing. He asked. And you know what? The neat thing about this story here, guys, is that he just didn't ask to be healed. He asked to what? To be cleansed. You know what the difference is? The difference is, he could have been healed and he could have walked off and lived his whole life again. But he asked to be cleansed from everything because he wanted to be restored. He wanted to be made whole again. He wanted to have everything that everybody else had, or what he had in the past. And that was to be saved completely, salvation. He wanted to be completely restored back to society, to his family, but most importantly with God, to be restored within the church. See, that's the difference. He just didn't say, Jesus, heal me. I don't want leprosy, and then go back to his old way of life. He wanted to be cleansed from not only the leprosy, but that old life that he had. He wanted to be restored. Because look at the words he said in verse 2. Look at the bottom half of verse 2. He says, if you are willing, Jesus, you can make me clean. If you are willing, shows us two things. First of all, it shows his great faith in Jesus. You know, the leper believed that Jesus had the power to heal him. But it was up to Jesus. See, that's the difference here. It's up to Jesus, not up to you. That's why even Jesus said, hey, may your will be done, not my will, Father. He could have said, hey, Jesus, you know, you heal me now, right now, or else. You know, you didn't come up to Jesus and go like this, you better heal me, you know. His whole thing is that he believed in the power of Jesus to heal him, but it was up to Jesus. It was just a matter of Jesus choosing to cleanse him. He left it in Jesus' hands. And see, that's what you got to do. You got to leave it in Jesus' hands. When you leave it in Jesus' hands, you're able to accept his will. If you demand to be healed, then you're going to struggle if that healing doesn't come. I think of Jehoshaphat. Remember, if you read the story of Jehoshaphat, Israel was up against all these nations, four mighty nations, and all these. They were outnumbered up, and they were behind the walls. And Jehoshaphat got up, and one thing that ministers to me the most about that story, Jehoshaphat, he said, Lord, I have no power over this, nor do I know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. Pretty much what the leper was saying. I have no power over this, Jesus. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. It's in your hands. And that's when the Lord said, hey, you know what? The battle's not yours. You don't need to fight this battle. Just be in the position of readiness and go out and watch the salvation that I'm going to bring. Pretty much what the Lord was Jesus did for this leopard. It shows us this great faith of just leaving it in Jesus' hands. And then the second thing is that it shows us that the leper was reaching out to the heart of Jesus, and to not to his power, but to his heart. You know that you can get God's attention? You ever thought, I can get God's attention? You know, when you do things that are wrong, you're going to get his attention in a bad way. You're going to get spanked, right? I think we all need a spanking once in a while, right? It helps us, points us to the Lord. But when you do things that are good in the sight of the Lord, you get his attention. And this is what this leper did. He was reaching the heart of Jesus, not his power. He believed and he knew that Jesus had the power to heal him. What he needed was to touch the heart of Jesus, and by doing this, he was asking for the love and the power of God to heal him. And he knew that Jesus would touch him if he just reached his heart. And the leper, he was asking to be cleansed, because that's what God wants, right? Isn't it his heart that all men ask and wish to be cleansed, to be saved? Isn't that the heart of God? I mean, it tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved, right? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask and think, according to the power that works in us. God can do more and beyond what you can imagine or what you can ask. You might say, okay, it's like, it reminds me of Chuck Smith when this man brought his son down in a wheelchair and Chuck went over there and he prayed over the man and over the boy, the young lad, you know. He prayed and the boy got up out of the wheelchair and walked. And his father was just bursting. This is a true story. He was crying. He says, why are you so astonished by this? He says, because I brought him down so that you can pray over his cold. He didn't bring him down for Chuck to heal for him to walk. That's why the Bible says God will do more and beyond what you could ever imagine and think. You know what? The leper did two things that all of us must do when we ask Jesus to cleanse us, guys. First, we got to fully trust in that cleansing. We got to fully trust in Christ. We got to believe in him and his power that he'll do it. And then we got to offer ourselves up to Christ. We got to bow down. We got to worship him. We got to receive the love and the power of Christ to cleanse us and serve him. And because this is what the leper did. And look what happened in verse 3. And Jesus put out his hand and he touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. I love this. We're talking about Jesus, guys, the Son of God here, the Lord Jesus Christ. He reached out because why? He was touched from the heart. He was deeply touched by this leper. He was touched by his condition. He knew his condition was wretched. So you got to kind of picture this. Let me try to give you a picture of this man here. Just kind of look into your thought here and picture this picture, okay? We're talking about a man whose body was full of open sores. Can you picture that? Part of his flesh was eaten away because that's what leprosy does. He was in loneliness. He was in desperation, separation. He had this emptiness. He had this helplessness. And yet this man touched the heart of Jesus. And you want to know why? Okay, now, okay. Reason why is because this is exactly what Jesus felt when he went to the cross for us. Everything that this leper went through and felt, that's what Jesus felt. Wasn't Jesus' body full of open sores when he got, when his flesh ripped away? Didn't he feel alone in the garden when the disciples abandoned him? Leaving him alone, standing there by himself with those who abused him. In the garden, it says that he sweated great drops of blood right before the time that he had to face. Helpless. Feeling helpless. But even though he can call down a legions of angels to help him, he said that. But instead, what does he do? He cries out, Father, Father, why do you forsake me? He knew what this leper was going through, just like he knows what we go through. Just like he knows our circumstances, guys. He knows our trials. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our works and our worship of him as well. Why? Because Hebrews chapter 4, 15 tells us, for we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but within all points, he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Isn't that beautiful? That Jesus goes through everything that I went through, yet without sin. But Jesus, he touched this leper. Now notice that before Jesus touched this leper in verse 3, he reached out for this man. He put his hand on him and touched him before he said anything. Look what it says in verse 3. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him when he was a leper. He touched him. And then he said, I'm willing to be cleansed. Jesus touched this man when nobody else would. Man, that really hits home with me. When nobody else would touch me, reach out to me, Jesus did. He reached out for this man when he was the most defiled, just like you, just like me. You know, I often wonder how long has it been since anyone had ever touched this man? Was it days, weeks, months, years? How long was he a leper before anybody just gave him the time of day and touched him? Jesus had compassion on this man. Jesus had compassion on everybody. He tells us that in Matthew chapter 19, verse 35 through 38. It says that Jesus, he went about all the cities and all the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, what happened? He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep and having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers before his harvest." That's why we have to have that same compassion. The harvest is plenty out there, guys. There's plenty of people that need to be picked. Okay? They're out there. Don't think that, wow, there's no one left for you to talk to the Lord about. They're everywhere. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, 21. It says that when Jesus departed from when he was teaching, he said there was a boat. He departed by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot to the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw this great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sickness. Jesus has compassion. He has a passion for the lost. Paul had a passion for the lost. I'm always praying, Lord, give me a passion for the lost. And Jesus can do what no other person can do, because Jesus can do the impossible, right? Because all things are possible with him. How many of you believe that? Right? He did what no one else would do with this leper. And what your wife or your husband can't do for you, Jesus can. You don't go look for others who can. Don't look for substitutions. You look to Jesus. Because Jesus does the impossible. Look at verse 3. After he touched him, Jesus says, "I'm willing, be cleansed." I love that, because Jesus says that to us. He says, "I will." Don't you just love that? These are his very words. He tells us, you know, we get several things out of this about Jesus. Several significant things, you know. First, you know, that Jesus was willing for even the most defiled person to perish. Jesus is willing to save anybody. Isn't that 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 tells us that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. I love that, because I fit in there. You fit in there. This leper fit in there. Jesus' words are saying that there's not even the most defiled person is going to perish. And you know, the beauty of this is Jesus didn't have to be begged to help this person. He didn't have to beg him. He just asked. The most defiled person of all just needed to do was simply approach Jesus with a true and a sincere heart, the right attitude. Because Hebrews chapter 10 tells us, he says, "Let us draw near with a true heart." How's your heart this morning? He says, and you got to come in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And I love the fact that Jesus wasn't paid to help the most defiled person like this leper. They didn't pay him to heal him. This leper did nothing but come to Jesus and believe that Jesus would cleanse him. That's it. And Jesus said, "I will." Why? Because that's his mission. That's his purpose. Tells us in Luke chapter 19, Jesus said to Nicodemus, when he was, you know, that wee little bitty man like me. I think if I was in the Bible days, I probably would have been Nicodemus. You know, "Hey, you know, I got to climb. Let me get up in the tree," because guys like Bobby would be in front. I couldn't see him. Pastor Bobby, he's tall, I'm short, you know. "I better climb up the tree," you know. And Jesus said, "Hey, today salvation has come to this house, because he's also the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." See, you got to remember, that's what Jesus came for. He came to seek those who are lost so he can save them. Matthew chapter 9, verse 12, Jesus said, those who are well don't need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn this meaning. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, and just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So I love the fact that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost, no matter how defiled they are. And that should be our mission and purpose for the church as well. Just like Jesus. Remember Jesus after his resurrection, he appeared to the disciples and he said, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, he said what? I also send you. Who does that you refer to?
Me.
Thank you, Keith. Who does that you refer to?
Me.
Me. Say me.
Me.
And one more time now, because see, Keith is right. Who does that you refer to?
Me.
Okay. Me. It's personal. Jesus said, peace be to you. To me? Yes. And as the Father sent me, I also send you. Me? Yes. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Jesus said, go unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, it says, and he, Jesus, said to them, who does the them refer to? Again, let's do it again. Come on, guys. It's very simple. Who does the them refer to? Okay. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to observe all things that I have commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Who is Jesus always going to be with to even to the end of the age?
Me.
Yeah, see, you're quick to that one, right? Me, yeah. So this was Jesus' mission and purpose, and it should be our mission and purpose. Hey, think about our vision statement. Our vision statement here at Horizon North Park is to tell others about Christ. Teach others the word of God. Train disciples to go for Jesus Christ. That's our mission and purpose. And so Jesus, he cleanses leopard because why? The leopard acknowledged Jesus. He acknowledged him, so he received that power to be healed. He was cleansed physically, cleansed emotionally, spiritually, mentally, even ceremonially. If I even said that right. It's right, you know. So Jesus, but notice that Jesus cleansed this man. When he did it how? Immediately he was cleansed. He didn't hesitate. There was no waiting in line for this man. This man was sincere with Jesus. Jesus knew it. And so he cleansed him immediately. Look at verse 4. And he said, and Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So again, Jesus told the man, hey, he told the man. Okay? And that's important, guys, to see. He told the man. He didn't tell the leopard. Right? Why didn't he tell the leopard? Because he wasn't a leopard anymore. He told a cleansed man that what? He had to obey the law. That he had to obey the law for two important reasons. And one was because Jesus touched this man. He wanted him to be restored. He wanted him to be accepted. He wanted him to be reunited with his family, with his friends, with his community, with his synagogue. And that was only going to happen if he was proven to be cured. And the only way that was going to happen is he had to go to the priest for confirmation for healing. Why? Because the law commanded that. And then second, Jesus wanted the man to respect God's law, to walk in it for the remainder of his life. What does that tell me? Jesus wants me to not just be a hearer of the word, but be a what? And so who does that apply to? Amen. You guys got it. And last, I'm going to leave you with this. My favorite scripture that brought me to the Lord. Matthew 11, 28, 30. Jesus said, come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wasn't that proven with the life of the leopard? Jesus touched this man first, and then he spoke, I am willing. When by the time, I'm sure I can see it now, all the people are like thinking Jesus is crazy. In fact, you know what? The leadership of Israel hated him because why? He hung out with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes. What kind of man is this man? He's hanging out with the sinful, the undefiled, the unclean. Now he's touching a leopard. Guys, check this out. Look at, he's touching a leopard. And they come over. Where's the leper? He's right there. That guy he's touching. There's no leper. There's a leper? Where'd he go? He was there just for a moment. He was there. I know. I saw him. You know, that's what Jesus does. He changes and he cleanses our life. Amen.